You're listening to Around Comics, episode 249, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, as always, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Fresh off your bachelor party.
Yeah, had a good time.
I'm still recovering a little bit, but I didn't outlast you.
No, I stayed up until 6 in the morning.
You have...
it's a hot mic.
Yes, hot mic. I'm turning
hot
you
hot mic.
You have younger legs than I do. You can run much farther.
You have the legs of a 90-year-old man.
And I drink like one,
do.
Too.
Yeah, yeah,
and
literally.
I drink like one, too.
You see Chris in shorts. It's like, ugh. It's like the Crypt Keeper wearing shorts.
Next, a longtime listener of the show and a forumite and a volunteer, Windy City Comic Con, Mr. Rick Hansen.
I am new.
Yes.
Fanboy and the premises.
Oh, don't say that. People think this is iFanboy and nobody wants that.
Oh, I have to pretend to be fresh and professional now.
iFanboy would never let one of its listeners participate in their show up in their ivory tower.
No, you have to write for their website first.
yeah.
Sorry, Ron and Josh and Connor. We love you. And our special guest this week is the creator of Hackslash. You've seen his work in Exiles and G.I. Joe and Forgotten Realms and all other sorts of stuff, and soon to be on Wildcats.
That's right.
Wildcats!
Man. Oh, you mentioned G.I. Joe, and then I thought of that movie, which I finally saw.
Uh-huh.
And it made me sad. I got to get off that thought process. More beer.
Oh, more drink.
And G.I. Joe broke your heart.
Yeah. Mm. Kicked it in the face.
Yes.
Kicked my heart right in the face.
The supplier of the Southampton Public House Pumpkin Ale is Mr. Tim Seeley.
Yeah. I'll always grab something kind of fruity. I don't know what makes a...
Sorry, I almost snorted.
That's going to be on your tombstone.
Always grab
Tim Seeley, kind of always grab something kind of fruity.
Somewhere Harvey Firestein is saying, well, you know,
yeah,
put me in line.
Of course.
Well, Tim, welcome back. It is always good to have you on the show.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here. Right. I had to walk all the way from my house past the only liquor store, and that's what they had.
Cardinal Liquor?
Yeah, so this is what you get. The two blocks that we separate us, this is the liquor you get.
Well, see that. That's a mark of Chicago. There is that it was your only choice, and you still come with like this premium, premium tasty.
Whoa! Let's not keep saying their name for free. Come on,
the premium pumpkin ale. All right, before we get rolling here, I want to remind everyone that this episode, as always, is brought to you by InStockTrades.com. We're waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com is your source for all sorts of collected editions, including trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, showcases, essentials, omnibus editions, absolute editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And right now, you can pick up our book club selection, hand-selected by Mr. Tom Caters.
Yes.
It is the JLA Avengers trade paperback, and it is available at InStock Trades
for
a phenomenal 47% off the cover price. It is just $10.59. It's a crime how cheap that is.
It's also very good.
See how I queued up those sirens?
You said you were not going to call.
The cops.
And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And I think we're going to record that episode in 2 weeks.
Okay. I get married next weekend. So,
Honeymoon night. No, honey.
I'll be back.
I have to read this.
You and Chris Tabor on the same schedule. Because Tabor's bachelor party was this weekend. And he gets married next weekend. So you guys are on the exact same schedule.
What day is he getting married?
The 5th.
Oh, thank goodness.
Is that Saturday, right?
That's Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm getting married on Sunday. I think it'd be like a bad Like, oh man, if I got married the same day as Tabor.
Did you stay up till 6 in the morning last Saturday? Because that's what we did.
Yeah.
Oh, see, we were on the same schedule.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't run into each other.
We were in Wisconsin Dells, and we were mostly...
Whoa. At 6 in the morning?
Yeah, well, the strip clubs are only open until 2:30, so we sat in a hotel room and drank, I guess. So, yeah.
Wow, so you went to... Did you drive through Wisconsin Dells? Did you get to see the upside-down building? Like that place called Top Secret.
I know, you know what? Everybody said that it sucked. Because I was like, what?
Rick and I are just fucking looking at each other.
No,
like,
I knew not to go inside. I knew not to go inside because I knew it could not be better than just the shock of like, this place has got to suck.
I am ashamedly too familiar with Top Secret.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I've heard that place is awesome.
Yeah, but
it's not upside down in Milwaukee, though. Mm-mm. No, see... Well, it's a bachelor party, so that wasn't going
to
do it.
Place, you should go to where they suspend gravity. Well, what is that place? The mystery zone.
What?
Wow. Yeah,
this place where they've got everything on a hill, so you go into a cabin and you're standing on a hill, so you know the cabin looks like you're like gravity isn't working in that place.
What? How's that work? Are they dropping it off the hill? Like they say like a vomit comet.
They say
a
there's
cabin?
Magnetic iron ore. In the hillside itself, but
it's like a fucking comic book.
Yeah. It's like Doctor. That's a Doctor
I don't know.
Who.
That's I don't
a
know.
Whole Doctor Who episode.
I don't know if at my bachelor party I want like my ideas about how the universe works to be questioned. That you know, like,
yeah.
Like I'm gonna go back to my relationship and be. I went to this. Gravity doesn't work all the time. I
had an upside down lap dance. We can't get married.
We have to rethink this.
I don't know. I didn't know that was available. I didn't know that was an option.
She ground on me with her head.
I didn't know that would work.
Honey, I got this great idea for our honeymoon.
It's an upside down building. Gravity doesn't work. It's in Wisconsin Dells.
Fill in the blanks. Last note, music for this episode. I'm going back to my indie college roots for this one. Music is featuring Pixies.
Oh, okay. I can
Mr.
I can
Frank
get behind
Black
that.
On your side?
It is.
What'd you play?
He hasn't decided yet, probably.
Haven't decided.
Brett, nothing you've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah. Well, you really are going back to your indie college roots.
I think I'm actually going to start at the end and play a little UMass. To kick it off and and maybe work backwards through Bossa Nova and then Doolittle and Surfer Rosa. I might even, you know, freak out and play some,
you know,
what was their first one is,
I forget. I'm from the iPod generation. I don't even know what albums are anymore.
Come on, Pilgrim.
Singles?
Come on, Pilgrim.
We were kids
one.
When, you know, I didn't have an older brother, but my buddy did, and he was in college. So we would go over to my buddy's house, and he would have all these, like, crazy shit, like that Surfer Rosa album, which had a naked girl on the cover, which we were like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Did you masturbate to it?
Of course. But there was that one song. It's like, it starts with Tony's theme. That song starts out like, this song about a superhero named Tony. And we're like, what? This is so great. Like, we would quote this. And for years, I had no idea what the hell that was, because it was just like two 12-year-old kids finding some like 19-year-old college kid's record collection, like not knowing that it was, you know, the fucking Pixies. But yeah,
love the
so years every time we go like out to a party or something, like, this is Tony themed, you know,
it's a song about a superhero. Yeah. Well, I'll have to play some Tony's theme now. So there you go, Pixies, one of my favorite all-time bands. And actually, I saw them. I was lucky enough to, you know, because there's, you know, those bands out there that you're like, I wish I had seen them in their prime or before the reunion tours. And I did see them on the Tremblement tour down at down in Carbondale Triac Auditorium. And that was, I was young.
Did you get hammered before the show?
Got hammered before the show. Well, hammered.
Did you shit yourself?
It was that good. But then 2 years ago, last year, something like that, saw him on their reunion tour at the Aragon.
And so did I.
It was good. Which night were you there?
I don't remember.
I was there for the Urge Overkill night.
No, I wanted to go to the night where Urge Overkill played, but I went to the night where some band I didn't even care to see.
So there you go. All right.
Yeah, I like the earlier stuff better, you know.
Well, if you don't say that, you lose your cred.
I love their old, right before they broke up.
You're not a real fan, man. You can say that about every band except the Beatles, because if you say that about the Beatles, and you're like, I like the earlier stuff, like, I want to hold your hand, then you're not cool. But every other band, you got to say that you're a fan of their older stuff.
Yeah, so. Well, even the Stones. All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's move on here, talk about some comic books, because that's what we what we have a tendency of doing on this here show. Tom, you want to kick us off and talk about what you have been enjoying of late?
Oh, I will start. I wanted to pick a book from not this past week, but the week before. It is Superman Batman number 63, written
by... Stop trying to get me to read this book again.
It's good.
You keep doing this to me.
It's written by Michael Green and Mike Johnson, with art by Raphael Albuquerque, who's some sort of drawing monster. I don't know what world he comes from, with color by David Barron. It's a one-and-done story, which they've gotten very good at doing. It's also almost kind of an Elseworlds-type tale. It's about if Grodd took over the Earth, and everyone's under his command, and he's figured out a way to put kryptonite in the atmosphere so Superman had to leave, and now all that's left is Batman is, like, fighting against Grodd, and the strange, you know, he figures out a way to bring Superman. I mean, in the end, Superman and Batman win.
So they kind of kicked out the whole, like, this is now connected to continuity kind of thing.
Well, it's still kind, there's a thing at the end, it's like a, I guess it's not really a spoiler for it, but it's just like Batman running a simulation of what could happen in, like, a computer, you know.
Oh,
but the whole, this whole book is very loosely tied to continuity, and I think it's actually been for its benefit. I think Superman Batman's become what all the other sort of like confidentials and classifieds wanted to become, but never actually succeeded in giving people the opportunity to. I mean, there were some really good stories, but this book seems to have at times taken on sort of like a weird life of its own, where it's been like, oh, this is a really awesome story. And it always comes down to distilling like what's cool about Superman and what's cool about Batman,
sure,
and putting them in opposition to each other and like comparing them. And Green and Johnson have found numerous ways of doing it. They're all extremely entertaining, funny at times, and the Albuquerque art is—it's, I mean,
beautiful.
You saw that full page with the sad Grodd as he realizes
getting ready
that,
to get punked
that
by
Superman's
Superman.
About to kick his ass. You know, there you go.
What do you think? Sad, you know, I really enjoyed JSA Classified. It was a book that I enjoyed, and a lot of it were like 2 and 3 issue stories, but do you think they would have been better served by, you know, having a continual one and done formula for
I don't know. I think it only works because I think Green and Johnson, who have been writing it now for a while, are really, really good at that, doing this type of thing. They come up with just these crazy stories, like where they had the little Justice League story where the...
Which was awesome.
From the alternate world where there was miniature versions of the Justice League, you know. And
kneecap.
With Albuquerque did the art on that as well.
And it was awesome. This is different than that. This is a little
darker because the story is a little...
It's got your favorite word in there. Grit.
It's a little, grit. It's
a little grittier.
It's...
There's some J.J. Hardy in that book.
Yeah. No,
is this the Bruce
Jason
Wayne
Kendall.
Batman?
Yes, it is the Bruce Wayne Batman.
Oh, well,
book.
Then how much continuity, you know, can it really?
It could have happened at any time. It could have happened 10 years ago. You don't know.
10 years from now.
Or 10 years from now.
Because it'll be back.
Or 100 years from now.
You know, I am with Batman right now where I was with Captain America about a year ago. I am completely fine reading a DC world without Bruce Wayne. I am enjoying the Dick Grayson Batman.
I like me some
immensely.
Dick.
Yes, you do like
that. Tim Seeley loves the dick. We already knew that.
Well, you notice what they've been doing with Captain America. They do these Theater of War books, and they're, you know, told in the past. So, you know, Captain America can be dead, and you can still get new stories. So if they, want to do the same thing with Batman, they, you know.
You can always find a Steve Rogers story.
Steve Rogers has to be brought back now.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know.
Wasn't he already? I didn't read that Reborn thing, but.
He's coming back.
Called Reborn. Yeah. It'd be kind of weird about the end.
Yeah. Spoilers!
If it was, in fact, Reborn, it was like a fetus or something.
Yeah.
It'd be like if saying Final Crisis was really the Final Crisis. I mean, that was it? The end of the DC Universe? That's it, guys. We're done.
It seems like, you know, both companies get into this not habit, but, you know, just because a character dies doesn't mean that they're gone. I've read some of the best Blue Beetle stories in the last 2 or 3 years, and what, Cord's been dead for.
Well, doesn't it increase the character's sales after they die?
Sure.
I mean, doesn't it be like, hey, let's blow his ass up, and then we'll tell stories about him, and then people will buy it because he got dead. Yeah. Like, people are like, I love it because he's dead.
Yeah,
so weird.
Captain Marvel in the Marvel universe was never really interesting until he did die. So,
yeah,
I mean, that was
so. People are kind of creepy that way, though. Mm.
But
we like our corpses.
But no, seriously, check out this Batman Superman, and damn you for showing it to me, Tom, because
it's awesome,
beautiful.
The art
beautiful
is art. Awesome, and Grodd, it features Grodd, so you know that's always it has Grodd written on top in big letters. Which,
yeah, see, I almost when I saw that I was like, a Grodd comic. I was like, oh, it's Superman, Batman, but I thought, shit, I would have bought it just for the goddamn big, I was like, evil monkey. Shit.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great.
It's like a wet dream for you. A grind.
Why isn't
comic.
There a monthly just evil monkey comic? Like in evil the monkeys late, are pretty much the,
in the late '70s. DC planned to do a Gorilla City comic book, and
see,
then,
that would have been great.
And then
wasn't that Julie Schwartz thing where if you put a monkey on the cover
sales go up? Yeah, exactly.
Is Grodd the only Flash villain who isn't in it just to humiliate the Flash? I mean, he just wants to conquer the world, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he also wants to fling his shit.
Everybody else just wants to say, I got you, Flash.
And Grodd also likes eating people.
Does he really?
Yeah.
He eat people?
They've sort of added that over the years.
That's fucked up.
Well, I mean, he can't always just be running for governor. It's bonus that there's a gorilla on the, it says Grodd in big red letters on top of it. But I was like, oh, shit. Albuquerque? But yeah, always keep your eye out on Superman Batman because it's one and done's or two-part stories or three-part ones, and they're not heavily continuity-wise. So if you see something that's interesting, pick it up. And they always do a really good job of making it an interesting, fun story.
Cool.
Highly commendable.
Mr. Hansen, you got anything for us?
Wrong.
Hey. All right. Swing and a miss.
What's your first pick?
Incredible Hulk number 601.
Oh, go talk to Vince.
Greg Pak returns, you know, after a long absence.
Mm-hmm.
No, not too long. I mean, it hasn't been that long since World War Hulk. But, I mean, he hasn't lost a step. I thought that I was done with Hulk with this Jeff Loeb run, but as soon as I picked this one up, I was like, "Oh, this is how good it should be," you know. And I'm not the artist. I forget who was on the guy who was doing Punisher War Journal for a little while.
Olivetti.
Yeah.
Oh, Ariel Olivetti.
Right.
I don't know that he did War Journal for a while. I don't know if it's him.
You know,
not.
Big muscles and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, more of a painterly style.
Right, but not my favorite style, but you know, but good for this turnaround, this change. You know, so you know, I don't know if you guys have reread
no,
it
but,
at all.
But Pak seems to have a really good grasp of that character. He's one of those guys that seems to really enjoy writing Hulk. Mm-hmm. Planet Hulk is, you know, if someone asked me, it's like, what's a good Hulk story that I should read? Just go right to Planet Hulk. It's my favorite Hulk story that's ever been written because it's 12 issues. You really don't have to know a whole heck of a lot about Hulk history or even, you know, Marvel continuity. You can just jump in.
Does Hulk smash in this?
Yeah.
He does.
Best of all, no Dark Reign tie-ins.
Ah, that's true. Is there a difference between that Hulk and Red Hulk, or is it the same book? I'm not reading the
There's
Hulk.
Like, how many Hulk?
There's a weird combination there where Incredible Hulk became Incredible Hercules, but then they restarted, which is a good book. But then they restarted Incredible Hulk, even though that, well, whatever. It was, you know, they can do that whenever they want.
Yeah,
but
I think
Pak's. And then that red guy is a different book altogether. See, there you go.
I think Greg Pak's going to just pretend that whole Red Hulk thing isn't even happening, you know, kind of like Mark Millar is going to pretend that the Ultimates 3 never even happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I can see that. No, Greg Pak's a guy that if he's writing Hulk, then I'll check it out. So I might pick that up. So thank you for the recommendation.
Oh, are you really?
I might, because I really do like Greg Pak's.
You should stick around and make sure he buys it. Like, I thought you said while we were recording that you were going to try
it. Put it up on the counter. It's like, Chris, don't let Chris leave without buying it.
He put this in his box. He said he's going to buy this.
Mr. Seeley?
Let's see. You know what? The first thing I grabbed when you guys were saying grab something to say you read was that Guardians of the Galaxy 17 that came out this week was awesome. I haven't picked up any of the other War of the Kings stuff because I just don't care about crossovers. But I've been reading Guardians of the Galaxy from the get-go, and I loved the team when I was a kid. From the jump off. From when I was a kid, I loved the Valentino stuff. And then now, of course, this is not the same team or whatever, but it's still a really it does the cosmic stuff. It's set in modern day Marvel continuity. It's not in the future, but it's just super super fun. And the art is really good.
The last issue was,
yeah. This well, what the last issue was.
The last issue
that's
was
right.
The future,
it did have the old one
where they went back.
Okay, that's
true. They went
but it wasn't
forward
the same
to the old.
Yeah,
which was cool.
It's just really well drawn. Brad Walker has been kind of intermittent. I wish he would just have
stick
a
around.
Six to 12 issue run, but. Yeah, but when he's on, he's awesome. And yeah, really good looking. But it's just really fun. Abnett and Lanning, just, I mean, they do action like nobody. I mean, it's not a book. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to whatever. But it's just really, really fun. And it's consistently like every time that, you know, there's a moment down, there's another crazy something else happening. So and there's never like they consistently sort of up the ante without, you know, not giving you downtime to get to know the characters. Because geniusly, they have this little debrief.
Yeah.
These debrief panels where basically it's only one panel, but it's actually all you need. Because at that point, that's what you learn about the characters. They're like, so yeah, I mean, you got Rocket Raccoon and, you know, Gamora. I mean, all these characters that I loved and would have really wanted someone to use.
Yeah, it's
they use them extremely well. Warlock. And they're, you know, they're really well used. They're not insulted for being sort of like B level characters. They're well used.
It's made, you know, what, Peter Quill?
Star-Lord, great character.
It's made Star-Lord like an important, cool character.
Totally.
Flag.
Jack Flag.
That was a weird addition. I didn't really know who that was, except he was in an issue of Thunderbolts I read once.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, who the hell is this guy? But it's funny idea that he was sort of just dragged into this and he. You know, he's not. He's an Earth guy. He doesn't like cosmic stuff.
I hate cosmic stuff.
Yeah, but it's really well done. I mean, he's just
They rescued him from the
negative zone
prison that they built in.
Like Blastar tried to take over. Whatever. Yeah, it was pretty brilliant. Yeah, that's right. They rescued from the prison.
Yeah, you know, I guess probably the best compliment I could give this is if you are a fan of Star Wars, you will probably dig this.
Because it's a lot better than Star Wars because it doesn't have three really sucky volumes. I mean, it's got
wow.
Well, I'm just saying, it's really good.
When are they going to add their Jar Jar Binks?
I mean, hypothetically, they've added their Jar Jar Binks, and except he kicks ass.
Yeah,
his Rocket Raccoon would be a retarded ass idea if you handed him anything less than they do.
Which I think he's badass.
And he's awesome. I mean, I loved his original book. I loved it as a kid. But you know that character could easily
a raccoon.
Been so, yeah, it's like stupid.
It's a raccoon.
He's great. He's he's funny and the way he interacts and the dog, the fucking cosmic dog, the psychic dog. That's hilarious.
Oh, Cosmo?
The Cosmo.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Cosmo, so it's all good stuff. Like all things that I wish I had thought of. That's a rare compliment.
I wasn't
for me
a big fan of the debriefing scenes when this first started because I thought, okay, you know. The debriefing happens after the mission's over, so you already know that everybody makes it through okay.
I'm glad they don't want it. They don't die.
But they've been getting much better at using it.
Yeah, I think so.
Ongoing.
They almost went away from it. It felt like there was a few issues where they didn't even
have
it.
Well, because it was that crossover. Like, they've been stuck in this sort of whatever cosmic crossover.
Well, I mean, you can say stuck in War of Kings, but, I mean, they are very central to that, and Marvel's done a really good job of tying all of their cosmic together. I've been trying to keep up with this since Annihilation.
Yeah.
And it is from the beginning of Annihilation to where we are now with War of Kings. It is one continuous story that has really turned into an epic, epic tale. And if you're a fan of cosmic, go back and get the Annihilation hardcovers. Start there and come all the way up. Or you can just jump right in with Guardians and have a lot of fun. But Marvel's Cosmic, I've been saying it for about a year now, is as good as it's ever been.
They should start putting that on their books. Chris Neesman's been saying for over a year,
it's as good as it's ever going to get.
It's been absolutely seamless, really. I mean, I'm reading all Nova, Guardians, and I'm looking for continuity errors. I was like, they're not to be found.
It's pretty single-minded in it's Abnett and Lanning.
Am I going to have to get you help for your continuity searching?
Groot is taller in this one than he was in that one. This is wrong.
This is actually an intervention.
I will not admit I have a problem.
Rick, I won't admit.
Whenever we said that you could be on the show, it was.
It's actually
we're not
an
actually recording this. This is just an intervention.
This is just an intervention with the microphone. This is your safe place. Say whatever you want into that microphone.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. I'm going to talk about Trade, which is about a series that I think we may have talked about. The first issue a ways back was Killer of Demons. It's a series from Image. It is written by Chris Yost and drawn by Scott Wegener. And
I like Scott Wegener.
It is
he the Atomic Robo guy?
Atomic Robo. He's done some other stuff. Did he do some maybe Brit? Maybe
he did a couple issues of Punisher War Journal.
Yeah, I mean, he did some Marvel stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, he has this great Image style is almost what I want to call it. That's very unfair to Scott to say that, but you could see his art popping up in like Invincible or Brit.
I think it's actually very like sort of animated ish.
Yeah, it has a very nice animated feel to it.
Animated,
kind of like Astounding Wolfman.
Yeah, like Jason Howard. It's kind of in that school, I guess. But Killer of Demons, really fun series. And this is the first mini series is what it would be. It's left open that it could continue. But it's a really fun concept in that if an angel of God appeared to you and said, "You have been chosen. You are the one. And your job is to kill demons. And we have given you a gift, the gift of sight, that you can see all of the demons who are masquerading as people." And the angel is a cigar-smoking cherub, by the way, that only you can see. And this is your job. I'm sending this message from God that this is what you have to do. And so what do you do? Do you listen to the angel and go and start killing any demon that you see, which many of them are your coworkers or people at the White Castle,
demons gather at White Castle? My many
no, they work. They work at White Castle, and so
it's so fucking slow.
And so, Dave, the protagonist, is like, you know, am I going fucking crazy? And so he's very reluctantly following this angel's orders to kill these demons. But that's kind of the top layer of it. Now, underneath that, Chris Yost, he lives in L.A. now and is a comic book writer and a screenwriter and that. But before that, he worked in an ad agency in Detroit. And you find all this out in the afterword. No, I haven't been stalking him, Tom. It was in the book.
He lives in a really nice place.
His wife's very attractive.
Yeah.
Walks his dog twice a day.
But he worked in an ad agency in Detroit, and so this Dave, the protagonist, works at an ad agency, and so the entire book is filled with all of these funny ad agency moments. The ad agency that he works for, they work on a cigarette and a mayonnaise account, and so it's the whole smoking makes you sexy and mayonnaise is good for you.
Is he responsible for Miracle Whip saying that they won't tone it down?
We will not tone this down.
So, and of course, the head executive and many of the people that work at the ad agency are demons, and their job is to make people do horrible, despicable things. And so they, you know, run this ad agency that promotes cigarettes and terrible food and all that. So it's this really funny satire on advertising and office environments and what people will do to get to get ahead in the office office environments, and demon killing, which it's more than anything, it's just a really fun comic.
As if Detroit didn't have enough problems. Apparently, it's filled with demons.
Did you ever see the film? Like when it first came out, I was like, because I watched this movie, and then for months, maybe a year after that, we'd quote it all the time. Was this film Frailty, which was kind of a similar idea. This guy, basically, he's a demon killer, and he tells his sons, you know, son, I kill demons. And like Bill Paxton.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But anyway, like the idea was, you know, is he crazy as shit, you know, and then, you know, that's the whole thing. Or is he just insane? Because everybody, when he kidnaps the people, they look normal, and he's killing these, like this old woman or whatever. And you never see her turn into a demon. You just have to trust that he's right. His kids are like, But yeah, sort of like that.
It's funny because I think in the back it's either Chris Yost or Wegener who talks about, you know, the whole concept of it. And yes, we know it's not a completely original concept.
Oh, okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
But that's
it just
probably
made me think of that movie, which I really liked.
Oh, so it's supposed to sound like Constantine meets The Office?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Like there's anything original, but whatever, you know.
No, it's it is They Live.
Except
meets
he's not a dick.
It's They Live meets Office Space.
That works too.
That is probably the mashup description I can give for this book.
Yeah, that sounds great.
There's always that thing, like, awesome. For it's some reason, funny. Like, if you do a superhero book and you're like, hey, it's superheroes, and people are like, oh, that's new. But if you do something that's not, then all of a sudden everybody has a comparison for it. But if you're like, oh, I'm doing the super book where he, like, you know, he flies
back
and stuff, and they're like, is that a little bit like Superman? No one ever says that. They're like, you know, for some reason that's okay. But yeah, you do something like that, and people are like, well, that sounds a little bit like, I mean, I get that with Hack Slash all the time. I'm like, that sounds like Buffy. Or whatever, it's like, yeah, but, you know, Spider-Man kind of sounds like Superman if you really fucking tried. I mean, it's like...
yeah, exactly. He fights bad guys and he wears
red and blue.
Blue, yeah.
Exactly. Now,
speaking of Hack Slash, how's everything going with the movie? I haven't...
He just rolled his eyes, shook his head, turned purple. They finally... You know, it's we've had that kind of consistent thing where... Now I'm at that point where it's just like every time someone asks, I'm like, don't fucking ask me. I don't know. But no, I think, you know, like we've had a pretty standard experience with it, which is things change, studios get bought, other people get hired, blah, 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 which is normal. It's just that when you're working in comics, you're used to like, hey, I thought of this idea. And 2 months later, it was on the shelves at fucking Dark Tower. And, you know, I mean, you have a more immediate. So, but they hired a new director after the studio sort of reorganized after they got sold. But it's this guy, Frederick Bond, who... is like a commercial director, and he's attached to the remake of The Host with producer guy.
It's one of those Asian horror movies, right?
Yeah, which is a really good one. It's a giant. Okay. You ever see The Host?
I've heard of it. I'm not a big.
It's a giant, basically like tadpole Godzilla monster thing. It's great.
Chris
movie.
Doesn't watch horror movies.
It's not really horror.
He's more like a big chill type guy.
He looks like a big chill kind of guy.
I have to. I can't get past the wrist slashing at the beginning of that movie. I watch horror movies on like Saturday afternoons.
Oh, they're nice and neutered.
Yeah, it's windows open, lights on, dog right beside me.
I bet
me.
If you watch a horror movie at night, you're like just a total pussy.
Oh, just absolute.
Like, oh, no. Oh, shit. Oh, no. I can't. Oh, God.
I wish I had that experience sometimes. That'd be awesome. But
jaded.
The Howling ruined me when I was like 10 years old.
Really?
Ruined
me. Oh, that's such a great movie.
Ruined me.
No, I get it, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I had that same experience as a kid. That shit freaked me out. And then as I got older and I just watched so many, now I'm kind of wish I would forget. I'm always like, I'm watching every horror movie I watch to get that experience. But I'm never going to
get it back.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's like,
what scares you anymore?
It's like your first makeout or something, like after, or your first sex.
Chasing the dragon.
After that, you're just trying to repeat that first experience.
Yeah. You keep making out with 13-year-old girls hoping to recreate that experience.
Maybe that would be the problem, I guess.
No, it's like
I keep trying to make out with 13-year-old girls, and it's just not the same.
Keep getting arrested. No, like Children of the Corn, a classic horror movie.
Yeah.
I can never get past like the opening scene where the kids kill all of the adults in the diner, and I'm just like, oh, I can't watch that. I can't.
It gets a lot less scary as the movie goes on, so maybe that would help you. But
yeah,
scarier stuff is like working with Hollywood, I guess, instead of making. Watching
that's
movies,
the real horror story.
That's the real.
But I mean, I think, you know, these guys are trying and they're doing a good job, and hopefully it'll be out soon. And I don't know. At this point, I'm just sort of like, I just want to make.
Have you been involved at all with the screenplay of it or the script?
Yeah, I mean, here's the weird thing. Like, you know how I mean, comics, you like write a script and you turn it in and like, that's it. That's done. You know, you're like, there you go. Hands off to the artist. And they might get like one tweak or something. In Hollywood, they do not do that. So they'll rewrite that shit a million damn times. Even if like one studio exec's like, I love it. Then someone else comes along and is like, we're rewriting it. So I've seen that script 12, 15 times probably. No shit. And it's always different. And there's stuff in there. Like Todd and I, the original director, worked on one draft. So I wrote a bunch of crap for it. And I'll see it in the current drafts. Like, I think I put that in there. I don't even know anymore because it's all,
I don't know which version this is.
Exactly. But, I mean, they're going to do it until they get, and, you know, when the current director, the new director comes on, he's going to, you know, want things changed and stuff. And so by the time, I guess, when we see it, it'll be probably so different from the first script I wrote that I'll be as new to it as everybody
It's going to be the new Superman sequel by the time.
Wow.
But, I mean, I think, like, as soon as I complain, I'm like, you know, Wonder Woman has been in production for 17 years and it's not been. It's in development hell for 17 years. Like, this shit is not unusual.
No.
I was living like, I was breathing rare air before, and I think now it's just like, oh, this is how it works. They take some time, they make sure they like it. They, you know, they don't want to do something that they don't. I mean, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money if it just fails. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
And they, so they put a lot of, you know, I mean.
Well, we're talking to Greg Rucka much later tonight. It'll be an upcoming episode, by the way. And Whiteout.
I mean, yeah, Whiteout. I mean, yeah, that movie was filmed how many years ago?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's coming out this September, September 11th.
It's been delayed a couple times. It's been ready.
I think the movie's been done for a year and a half.
Oh, I'm done. Pretty sure that, yeah, it's done and shelved for a long time.
Yeah.
Which I never understood. I was like, because they... Is it because they're like waiting for the perfect time, or they don't like it? Or
well,
I mean, think of that movie Trick or Treat, which was a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to come out last Halloween, and I remember it was two Halloween.
Well, I think what they were looking at, and I'm probably talking speaking out of turn, but I think the studios looked at all of the big blockbusters.
Well, you've been reading Greg's email. You've been reading Greg's mail.
Yes,
so, you know.
yes, I go through his mail,
steaming it open.
Hey, you know how many frequent flyer miles I have for these red eye trips to Portland? It's amazing. But yeah, it's like, you know, even, you know, that's the thing. It's like people will get excited whenever something gets optioned. And it's
it doesn't mean shit.
First of all, it may never get made. And second of all,
the word option itself is so non-committal.
Yeah, no, it actually doesn't mean anything. It basically means like, we want to talk to you about doing this, but we don't want you to talk to anybody else.
Yeah.
That's all it means. That's the only thing.
We have a window of exclusive negotiating.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think in the future, if I ever work on this stuff again, I'll learn that. I think I don't know. Maybe it wasn't such a bad idea, but I think when we got the sort of people interested in doing the Hack Slash movie, we were so excited because it was our first sort of thing to do it, and so I think it ended up helping sell the book. But on the other hand, it really was premature. I think I should have just shut the fuck up. Yeah. And not said anything until the movie came out and be like, surprise! You know,
yeah, it's a Hack Slash movie!
Yeah, now it's like, I'll see you at Starbucks. Hey, Tim, how's it going? Good, yeah. Any word on a Hack Slash movie? It's like, fuck you. Let me have my macchiato in peace.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like that's always the bummer, too, is like, you know, I know people get excited about that sort of notion.
Oh, we're
like
happy for you.
Yeah. But on the other hand, it's like, I'll see people at cons and they'll be like, ask me about the movie. I'm like, do you care about the comic book? No, I just care about that movie.
I don't even like comic books.
On that note, how is the comic going? What's where are we at?
Good. We just came out with 25 issue 25. So to me, so maybe this is kind of a not way to sort of gauge anything. But when I was a kid, two of the series I loved the most were Darkhawk and Sleepwalker, and they didn't make it too much farther than 25. So
validation.
Tim, they need to aim higher.
But they had But they had a big impression on me. Yeah. So my theory is that
you need to be a Spider-Man fan really quickly here.
I like that step, but you know, but if that had such a big impression on me as a kid, then maybe I have a chance of having some kind of impression on something. Because we've been around for 25 issues, plus more, I mean, because we had the one-shots before that. So I guess hypothetically, we're really at, like, issue 37 or something. But But, you know, I'm just glad we got that far and we still sell and we still make comics. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm all right. Yeah. I mean, not a lot of indie books. Indie books don't often, I mean, I know how it is with indie books and, you know, it's rough.
They disappear. They just sort of disappear sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't think we're in danger of that. I think we, you know, if I get to the end of the story, I'll be able to do it. And that's mm-hmm. nice to know.
How are the, yeah. And I always am curious about this. How are the sales on like the omnibus? Does it do pretty well?
Well, for me, the omnibus is the makes more than the series does. I mean, the trades make mm-hmm. a lot more on Hackslash than the series do.
Well, you know, it's kind of the old thing. The singles help finance.
Yeah, they help finance the series. But the at least for, I mean, that's what I mean, I think that's going to be the thing for me, unless the sort of internet mm-hmm. stuff works out differently. It's just that, you know, making the comic works because it you know makes money, but I pay myself off the trades and the omnibus especially because you know it's a nice big fat book and I think we yeah. sell almost as many copies of the omnibus which costs $30 as the regular series which costs $3.
Yeah.
So if we sell the same amount, that's 10 times more. Obviously, you know, it's just the content. I mean, it's getting to that level of having that much content, which I think is what kills a lot
of
books.
How many issues are in each one of the omnibuses?
18. So, you know, the first one was all the stuff beforehand, and then the ones that, you know, 1 through 17 or whatever, or 18 was the one after that. So, yeah, that's 17 issues of content. That's a lot of shit. That but I mean, it's just content. Hard to stay around, I think, for a lot of indie books to stay around that long to get that point where you have a nice fat ass book.
18 issues, you know, a lot of, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, monthlies come out and then they go on the back issue bin, whereas, you know, the omnibus comes out, I get orders for it every month, you know, and it's a $30 book. And so like
it's second printing for the first one.
It's almost in its third at this point. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's the way to go for, if you can get enough readers to make a book last, then I think with like an indie book, you become sort of like people buy their monthly fix of superhero stuff or Marvel books or DC books. And then they'll buy that your stuff and trade or whatever.
It's also easier to get.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you don't have a shop mm-hmm. that.
I still need to pick. I'm going to pick it up tonight, and I'm going to have you sign it.
Oh, that's very nice. I'd bring you one if I had any.
Are you? No. I want to help support you in this fine shop here at Dark Tower Comics.
Yeah, you're gonna get floppies if you get Marvel, because you won't look like a tool if you have indies and omnibus on your shelves.
I'm so hurt.
You should see this guy's place.
You have a Spider-Man omnibus.
Trust me, there's no shame involved.
There's no shame.
Anyone who has that many shelves of tiny figurines.
All right. Guys, true story. I'm a little afraid. I have a photographer coming over to my house tomorrow. I'm going to be in.
Oh, you're going to be on Obsessed.
Hoarders on that show.
Oh, Hoarders is. I love that show. It's like, oh, I'm not that bad.
This doesn't seem that unreasonable.
Intervention with me in the next episode. Obsessed with Chris.
It doesn't seem that odd to keep all of this stuff.
They're HeroClix. They're collectible.
They're collectible. You need 25 Hydra members.
You need to make 3 piles here, Chris.
Hey. I've played a team with 25 Hydra agents.
So you need to keep all of them.
You just shut your mouth.
I need to keep all of these.
But no, I've got
AIM versus Hydra game.
That would be awesome. No, Shield versus Hydra.
Each one of these agents has a special meaning.
Yeah.
They do. I name them. I've got a photographer coming over for Red Eye because I'm in an article about fantasy football, and they're going to take a picture of me in my home office. So I have to football it up a little bit. So I've got to, you know.
Why are you in a – why?
That's amazing, by the way.
Why are you in an article about fantasy football?
Because I am a obsessive compulsive fantasy football player.
Oh, okay.
Elliot's right.
Do you want me to help you football it up?
You just have Packers shit, though.
Yeah. You what are you going to do?
I've got some football stuff at home. I'll have to take the Iron
You're
Man.
You're really going to have
down.
To like sort of man up that room. Just kind of a little.
Put a lot of date rape drugs all around. That's
going to scare the shit out of this photographer. He's going to be like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know,
these are my collectibles.
The Red Eye guy was just at Devil's Due a couple weeks ago. I think mm-hmm. he's seen about everything. So you're all right. We'll see.
Well, it'll be interesting. I was like, you just need to adjust your angle and just not shoot the several.
Look over here towards the bear stuff.
I'll have my RAM. I have to pull out some of my RAM stuff from Saturday. but anyway, so Hackslash still rolling out, but you are doing some work at Wildstorm now with Wildcats.
Wildcats!
Yeah. I like how you have to do
I'm
that.
I'm like your hype man every time.
You mean Wildcats?
Mayhem? There's the iFanboy nod.
Yeah, you don't want to be like Tyrese.
Wildcats.
Mayhem.
Wildcats, written by?
Adam Beechin.
Oh.
The man.
I like Adam Beechin.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So it's... Because I always have that weird thing. Sometimes I don't know if people don't know how to, like one of those guys that, like, oh, I write this book, but I draw that book. People kind of like, what? I don't know. Why don't you just
pick a life?
But yeah, or just why don't you write your own book or draw your own book? Like, no, whatever. Yeah, so I draw the Wildcats.
That's not Tim Seeley's way.
Yeah. But I finished drawing issue 20 today. So what, issue 14 just came out? We're a little bit ahead. But yeah. So
it'll come out on time.
It'll come out absolutely.
Have no worries if you're pre-ordering.
That will come out on time. I guarantee it. So.
Wildcats is a weird book in that it can be really, really good or really fucking terrible.
Is yours the good or the terrible?
Is yours the good or the really fucking terrible?
I don't know if you guys, the current run,
How is everything?
I think it's really good. Like, ever since the World's End thing, I think, was, you know, sort of a solution to doing the reboot with Grant Morrison, Jim Lee, and then just nothing happened. And so
Gene Ha.
And the Authority, that was Gene Ha.
Gene Ha was the
Authority. Wildcats. Okay. And I mean, that whole thing was sort of an aborted, didn't happen. So they came up with the idea of sort of ending their universe, which is like going one step further than the sort of like, what if they actually sort of destroyed the whole shit. And anyway, the Wildcats now, since Gage took over when the relaunch series, it's really good. I was actually reading it when I got the job, which is cool because that hadn't happened to me before.
You're like, I already like this.
I can actually do the pitch piece and know what I'm fucking drawing.
Well, Beechin's a good writer.
And Beechin's good.
It was kind of unfair to some of the other books at Wildstorm because Stormwatch PhD was a rock solid book.
Oh, yeah, super good book. Yeah.
I love that book.
I thought Gale's Welcome to Tranquility was
back, too. That's actually another series coming out.
Grossly overlooked book.
Oh, for sure.
It's my favorite work that Gale has done. I thought that was just a fantastic series.
I think they had that sort of thing where, you know, they're really the third sort of ongoing superhero universe. So it's like, but, you know, they have that sort of lower size, not as many books, and it's they come out through DC. So, you know, it's harder to sort of get attention. Separate yourself. But
you like drawing it, though?
Oh, it's a blast.
Cool characters,
man. And the story that we're doing, so Adam's sort of take on it has been, it's the biggest team book on the stand. So basically, like, it's more every issue, but I think the first issue I drew 40-some characters on the team, and I think issue 20 was like, it might have been 50. So by the end, I cover pretty much every
character.
You're
like the George Perez of the Wildstorm universe.
Yeah, but it's fine.
There's
for me.
There's an homage to an earlier Wildcats cover in the background.
Hidden in the background.
But I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I'm okay with that because speed is something I've worked on for years, so I can actually... It's okay. I can do it. I go a little fucking eye crazy by the end of the day. But it's really fun. And like, you know, so obviously there's the sort of A players take the front seat and everybody's favorite secondary characters get a lot of play in the background. And it's just
sounds cool.
Huge team. And they're just, it's like the world is destroyed. So they're sort of, their concern about damage to the rest of the world is not as great as it would be if you punch a dude through a building and, well, the world's already fucked up, we don't really care. So you get to do a lot of big... I mean, it's kind
a lot
of
rubble.
I think they're trying to combine sort of the, you know, what was great about the sort of Ellis run of Authority or the Miller-Hitch runs of those things. Or was that... It was huge, and it was this huge scale. And now that's sort of been appropriated by Marvel and DC. But this is sort of going, well, we're just taking it another step beyond because we can do that. So it's just huge and wild. I guess that's
what issue do you start on?
19.
19?
So.
Okay. And 14 just came out, so...
Yeah, and Ryan Wynn is inking it, who just got Harvey nominated for his stuff on The Darkness, and he's amazing. And our colorist, whose name escapes me at the moment because I've only seen one page, but it's going to be a really good-looking book for sure. That way I know. I'm being brushed on with high talent, so it'll look great, and it's really fun, so I don't know.
We'll put Seeley with the good people.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even him out a little bit.
And then you're doing some webcomics.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the greatest idea. I just thought I would experiment. So I don't know.
Seeley way.
I got a little bone to pick with you on this, which I expressed to you earlier this week.
See, now, I don't think about podcasts as competing, so that kind of cracked me up, and I was like, oh, shit, you're right. But, so here's the... You never do in your own. To me, Bird City Online, which is where I post my new strip, which is called Colt Noble and the Megalords, it's basically a sort of romantic teen sex comedy 80s cartoon. But in any case, So I found these guys because of their blog. I'll admit it. I don't get a chance to listen to a lot of podcasts because my computer.
Hear him apologizing here.
Yeah. Yeah. My computer doesn't handle this shit too well, so it's so full of crap. So anyway, I don't listen to a lot of them, but I would always go to their blog because they post a lot of custom figures and they do vinyl toys and they do all this shit. So I was always I check out their blog. So my friend Jenny Farizan, who you guys know, said, "Well, you should meet these guys." So I went and talked to him one day. I was like, "These guys are right on the level. They're huge like 80s cartoon nerds. They're huge toy fans." Which
Ben and Max, right?
Ben and Max, yeah.
These are the guys that do the Nerd City podcast here in Chicago, and I'm just giving Tom or Tim crap about it. They're good guys, but,
sure. And it's competing.
But I get this email from Tim this week. It's like, hey, check out my webcomic at nerdcity.com. I'm just like, motherfucker. Well, you couldn't have at least asked us. We would have been happy.
I never even thought about it. But
no, you can't.
But my thinking on it, I mean, my thinking on it definitely was so the. The thing with comics, obviously print comics, is it has a very certain audience. Yeah. Well, it has a certain audience. It's not even a small audience, but it's a certain audience. And web comics allows you to do certain things. And a lot of people who for instance, read like, I can't even think of the name of the popular web comics, but the ones that, like
Penny Arcade,
and stuff. Yeah, these are different PVC. They're different kind of people. PVP. A lot of them are video game people. A lot of them are fans of just like funny stuff. They go once a day.
A lot of webcomic fans are not comic book fans.
Sure. I mean, not that they would be adverse to it, but
no, it's just they read webcomics. Sure. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
The thinking was is that if I went for a sort of trying out a different audience, that I might, because I think, Colt Noble, the strip, would be a tough sell, I think, sitting down the stands next to Green Lantern, Black as Night, where people are ripping each other's faces off and. Skull fucking, whatever superheroes. It's going to be a tough thing. It's kind of a funny comic. It's a romantic sort of teen sex comedy with like a PG rating.
Is there any faces getting ripped off?
Or? Not even at all. So I think it's a tough sell to do it right off the bat. Solicited in Diamond, do the standard route. But I just wanted to do an experiment. I wanted to see kind of like how these, what's the sort of reach of web stuff? What's the, the return users or blah, blah, blah. Like just trying to try. I don't know. I'm at a point where I can finally try something, so I'm going to do it. I just thought I'd give it a shot.
Have fun.
So it's on Nerd City Online. The first 20 pages are up. It's a 44-page comic. But you can read it for free. Just go on to Nerd City. They got a banner on the side. The goal eventually is to just sort of, I will put it hopefully in print, I guess, if people
trade, go straight to trade off.
Yeah, I would probably go straight to like a one-shot and then add a print exclusive story.
Mm-hmm. 44 pages. Yeah, that's 44. More like a prestige. Like
yeah, and then trade. I'll do an 8-page... exclusive story that's just for print, and I'll put all the sketches and all the sort of stuff in there. So
cool.
Try it out. It's free, and it's funny. I hope, and it's kind of it's like teasy sexy. It's like PG-13 sexy, so it's not dirty, but it's
So you're still once again trying to recapture that feeling of kissing that 13-year-old
girl. I mean, because the basic story is like the approach
how
that
can
I want to take
this
was
artistically.
How can I do this where they won't arrest me?
Because the idea was basically like if you were Shazam or He-Man or any kid who turns into adult, do you use it to save the world or you use it to try to get ass? That's the idea. That's the basic idea. So, but I also kind of want to set it in that world of this sort of space opera, which is, the sort of Star Wars, Master of the Universe, Thundercats,
everything
Galaxy,
that
the
you
planets.
Just like geek out about.
Yeah, exactly.
For people that don't know this, Tim, one of the biggest Masters of the Universe fans, maybe on the planet Earth.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah, okay, I'm a nerd. But in any case...
I love that about you.
This
it just cracks me up.
Well, it's sort of
what are you doing on the show?
It was... The funniest thing is whenever we talked to Don Glute.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you met Don Glute?
Yeah, I did a show with him. And he cracked me up. And part of he was actually part of the inspiration.
We were so excited to talk with him.
Well, he could care less about Master.
He was like, nah.
Yeah, I had to write all that shit. And...
Which is cool. I mean, I understand it. But, I mean, to me, it was actually sort of one of the reasons that I came up with Colt Noble was, these are sort of corporate things. They're made to sell toys. Yeah. They're not yours at all. G.I. Joe movies proof of that. It's just more sort of, selling toys, selling plastic items to kids. So this is trying to do something sort of more personal with that shit that was mass marketed to us, which still mass marketed us. I mean, there's still Star Wars is still just a giant toy pumping engine. And
what?
It's what it is.
You mean my Millennium Falcon is not a personal representation of George Lucas's vision, personal vision of the world in plastic form.
Sure. And this is that sort of attempt to, you know, take it away from that sort of like corporate approach and just have a good time and make it. It's about a, you know, it's a kid who's in love with a girl that he'll never have because she's much older than him. But if you suddenly were able to turn into a studly masculine
like
guy.
Big meets.
Yeah, there you go.
Big meets Shazam.
Big meets Fast Times at Ridgemont High. How's that?
Nice.
And Shazam.
With a dash of Shazam.
With Shazam, yeah, exactly. On Star Wars planet. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, we need to start wrapping this one up.
All right.
You have all that stuff coming out, but you're also going to be one of our guests at the Windy
City
Comic
Con,
which is coming up here in just a couple weeks, folks. So
4 weeks.
As we record this, it's like 22 days.
Yeah.
So it's under a month. So whenever this comes out, it's going to be about 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's I'm getting a little scared. But,
dude, it's going to be amazing. The last one, you guys, it was like you, it seemed like you winged it off your ass and it was amazing. So what are you worried about this time?
We've had a whole year to plan.
Yeah. But it's still getting right down to the end. But no, we're really excited about the guest list and glad that you're coming back this year. You're going to have you're going to be doing sketches there. Your art dealer, Cadence Comic Art, is going to be there. So you'll be able to buy Tim Seeley original art.
And a whole shitload of other guys and girls. That are represented by Paolo Belfield.
Yeah, I talked to Paolo yesterday, and kind of going back to when I first mentioned the show to him, and he saw the guest list. He's like, half the people I rep are at the show. I gotta come.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and he's bringing Titus down from Boston, and I think one of the other guys.
And then
from
he
New
shows
York.
Up at my wedding 2 weeks later. He's a badass. He lives in New York. It's a lot of traveling.
Yeah, Paolo's a dedicated guy. So we're looking forward to seeing him and having you at the show, and like we just. Everybody should know the announced guest by now. Just go to WindyCityComicCon.com and you can pre-order your tickets if you want. We certainly encourage that. And actually, that will guarantee you a gift bag, which we got some really sweet stuff for the gift bags. And you'll be able to beat the lines and go right into that pre-registered and guest registration line if you do that. So go over to WindyCityComicCon.com and get your pre-registered tickets, if you will. And Mr. Hansen, you will be one of our cornerstone volunteers. Here's again at that show.
Yes, it will be my job to usher any 13-year-old girls directly to Mr. Seeley.
Nice. See, you're catching on, kid.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm trying to recapture the magic.
It's not coming through in this webcomic. Come here, kid.
Come here. Get over here.
You can catch Tom three times a week on Tom versus the Flash. Yeah. And you have this is the last time that we're going to record. We got a couple more episodes coming out. Tonight's the last night that we're recording that you're going to be a single man.
Yeah, it's true.
How's that going to work with your Tom versus the Flash schedule?
Oh, it's the same.
The neutered Tom versus the Flash.
I think Iris is being really reasonable in a lot of her demands. She's being really reasonable in a lot of her demands.
I'm lying. Iris is being a bitch. I just can't say it really loud.
I can't say it really loud.
This episode is under the covers now.
I'm recording in the kitchen. I'm recording in the dining room now, so it's...
Say hi, honey.
It's more echoey, but I kind of like it. It sounds like I'm an old-timey radio station.
In this episode,
he...
So check that out, Tom versus the Flash, 3 times a week. You can also listen to a little bit more of me on 11 O'Clock Comics with Vince B. and King Dapp and Jason Wood.
Come on, you guys give me nicknames.
King Dapp. It's the David A. Price.
That's a Martin Lawrence character. That's got to be. No, I just made it up. It just sounds like
I think that was on In Living Color. It wasn't King Dapp one of the characters.
I want to thank everyone for leaving us iTunes reviews. I'm going to catch up by naming you all here in the next couple weeks.
But I
appreciate
y'all.
That. Keep doing that. Also, voicemails. You can call us at 1-888-977-5903. Next week, which we're recording tonight, so don't send in voicemails for it. We are going to be doing a bunch of voicemails for our 250th episode. And,
That's special.
And,
You said and, nothing special. That's special.
Well, what's special is that we're going to have the prodigal son returning. That's right. The return of Brian Salazar.
I don't know if I've been on recording with Sal in the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, yeah. How long have we been doing the show? 10 years?
Yeah, it feels like that.
What?
So, and as always, we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative, do something good to give back to all of the veteran creators that have given so much to us as comic book fans. And these folks need your help in an extraordinary way. And you can check out more information on why and how you can help by going to www.heroinitiative.org. All right, I think that is everything. I want to thank Rick Hansen for making his Around Comics debut.
You're welcome.
Good job.
Well done, newbie.
Way to go.
Virgin.
Way to go. Mr. Tim
Popped
Seeley.
His 13-year-old chair.
Yeah.
Is
that anything like making out with a 13-year-old, Tim? Being with a man and the first time he podcasted?
This is going to get me investigated. I'm going to be like, God damn it, Caters.
Son of a... Why does the phone keep clicking?
Night of many firsts.
Also, Killer of Demons has some hilarious FBI and World of Warcraft.
Did you parallel the FBI and the World of Warcraft?
The protagonist's brother is an FBI agent, and his job is to play World of Warcraft all day, trying to find pedophiles because his all of his user information is that he's like a 13-year-old girl, and he's always going up to other people in World of Warcraft, go, "Hi, I'm a 13-year-old girl."
Awesome.
Wait, but is it technically illegal if she's just a digital elf? Okay, we need to end this now.
All right. Tom, Tim Seeley, man, you are always welcome back on the show. You just drop us a line and definitely be on the lookout for Wildcats.
And there was nothing personal about to go to Nerd City, just so you know.
I just thought,
hey, this would be cool.
Just giving me a little shit. I know that you don't know anything about the internet.
We don't give a... So what, how do people get to this thing? On their computers?
A series of tubes.
Do you send them a flat... Do we send everyone a floppy disk with the pictures on it?
Check out Hack Slash coming out from Devil's Due Publishing. Go run over whenever you buy the JLA Avengers at In Stock Trades. You know, all orders over $50 ship for free, so you can tack on that Hack Slash Omnibus and a couple other things and get some free shipping. So I want to thank Mark for hosting us here, as always, at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with our 250th episode extravaganza or something like that.
Thank you, everybody.
Sad, really, that we've done it.
All those countless hours.
It may be the last episode.
What are the percentage of those that are good?
A third, at least.
70,
which is
maybe
still
listenable.
A tremendous amount of listening.
I like their older stuff
there.
Better.
Yeah.
Before the format changed.
Nice, you brought it back around. You got to keep this guy.
In the meantime, he's
the continuity guy.
In the meantime,
we'll be everywhere.
Losing his shit at the end of the episode, knocking mics over.
And around.
Comments. Fuck this! I'm leaving. Knocking mic around.
I got excited. It was a through line. Oh.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.